interviewed as
yeah
before. Temporary.
All right, I call the meeting of the Subcommittee on Appointments, or alternatively, the Committee on Appointments, whichever we're following, to order. It is Monday, January 10th, 2011. The meeting was called for 4 o'clock. It is now 4:09. Mr. Bass?
Sure.
Close enough. Okay. We have three people to be interviewed, and then we're going to discuss the appointment of Mary Mann, who we already interviewed before. So, I think that's where Melanie is going, is to go get Ms. Carpenter.
I guess we can ask May this. I thought she already was this.
What?
Commissioner of Senior.
She was, but she resigned.
She retired.
Oh.
She resigned over the summer.
Yeah.
And then was reappointed because she came back. She's now working for the public-private partnership.
Yeah.
And between that and her retirement
money... What's the public-private
partnership? She's getting paid by the state grant instead of getting paid by the county. You have to check with her, but I believe that's the situation. She couldn't get paid. She couldn't retire and get paid by the county.
And then come back by the county. Right.
Right.
But she will explain all that. She's done this before. When did we interview her before? We had something.
We saw her this
something.
Summer.
Yeah,
remember, she? I thought then she said she was volunteering.
Yeah.
And for the county, she actually is a volunteer, but she still gets paid by the state. Could be wrong.
John, thank you for looking through the minutes, but I would appreciate
Hello.
It if we all look through
Hello,
the minutes.
How are you? Hi, how are you?
I mean, they're pretty quick, but please sit down. And I'm sorry, your name again?
I am May Carpenter, the acting commissioner.
Thank you. We're taping things now, and because this subcommittee has now been advanced to a full committee, we have to somewhat change our procedures, and one of which is we have to be rather more formal than we have in the past.
Oh, okay.
So it is, I feel a little silly asking you to state your name, but even so. And Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to all of you.
It says here that you have been appointed as the director of the Office of Senior Programs and Services, but I've always thought of it as being a commissioner's level.
What did they say?
Director of the Office of Senior Programs and Services.
What does the letter say from the county exec?
Here it is.
Actually, it says commissioner. I screwed up the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering whether they created a department without letting us know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's terrific.
He says
much preferred.
Commissioner.
Yeah, much preferred. Okay. Could you catch us all up on the your wanderings in and out of the bureaucracy since you retired this summer?
Well, I retired without a plan, without planning to really retire. I just wanted to save my department some money so I wouldn't have to lay off more people. We lost about 25% of our staff with the early retirements. So my secretary and I retired, and the public-private pays her.
What is the public-private, if I may?
That's our 501c3 that we started 21 years ago.
Okay, so that's...
It's made up a lot of corporate people and heads of major agencies.
So it's a 501c3. So it's sort of like the same thing that Office for Women has?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been in business 21 years, and the bylaws say that the department head for senior programs is the fund administrator. And that's the same relationship New York City's 501c3 had with the Department for Aging in New York City, right? But basically to increase resources available for the elderly. And we don't necessarily want the monies to all come to us, although $9 million have come to us. But we don't want the monies to necessarily come to us because we don't have any staff. I mean, we do this as volunteers. We just add it on to our day and get it done. And there's a lot of paperwork and accounting, et cetera. But what we do want is that we want people who want to fund programs, the corporate foundations, private foundations, we want them to have a place they can come and check to make sure they are funding something that's really needed.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to give it to us to get out, although a lot of them do. But we would rather they accept our recommendations of what's needed and where they should put their funds.
So they can make corporate contributions, donations
Got
to this
right.
501c3.
Right.
And a philanthropic
yes.
donation,
yes.
and then they can get a credit, a tax
oh, yeah.
credit.
They get their tax statements.
Got
right.
it, got it, got
right.
it. Okay. I just didn't know that part of this.
So I have 21 different funding sources, and the grants are paying half of my salary. I work for half of my pay full-time, and then my pension subsidizes the rest of my income.
And that you got by retiring?
By retiring, yes. And so I got a chance to save $250,000 in my county budget by all of this without having to lay off more staff. We just couldn't take any more hits with the staff. And we're doing well. The people got a chance to take on new responsibilities and new challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I've been spending most of my time restructuring and training people with new responsibilities.
So how many people in the office now?
We're down to about 31 now. We used to have 42.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to 31. But a very dedicated staff.
Oh, I know.
Very committed. And the public-private is paying for some of the retired consultants from my office to pick up some of the activities like the Hall of Fame, Senior Law Day.
Yeah.
So these are trained people.
Sure.
And for the Yorktown office, one of my retirees who was a grade 11 is coming back at a grade 4 for 16 hours a week, subsidizing her pension, but she was a senior caseworker. She's fully trained. And we had a grade 12 who just retired, so we're replacing that position, downgrading it to a grade 4, 16 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to save money where we can, set a good example.
Mm-hmm.
But services have not suffered.
No. And I have a feeling the demand for services is not down either.
Yeah, no. And we're getting ready to roll out. We'll be glad to get all of our restructuring and retraining done because we're getting ready to roll out another part of livable communities. That's called the Circles of Care. We've got 150 villages. And you know how the young people do LinkedIn and Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, seniors aren't there yet. Hopefully one day they will be there. But we are getting ready to roll out this spring Circles of Care. So you can invite people to be in your circle of care.
The internet?
No, you can do it on the internet, but just by telephone. To make sure somebody's in touch with somebody.
Oh, good.
In the circle of care, who's going to go pick up the prescription drugs from CVS this week? Who's going to pick up the milk at the store? Who's going out and can provide a ride for somebody? We can never meet the demand that's coming in. And so we're going to have people taking care of each other like they used to do, particularly through houses of worship and senior apartment mm-hmm. buildings and senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to demonstrate a circle of care with a woman right now who thinks that the county is going to provide transportation to take her to see her husband in the nursing home every day. Well, that's not going to happen. But what about neighbors and club members that you've associated with for 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
There are no children around. What about your circle of care?
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that.
Did she live in a community that has a livable community?
Yes.
An aging in place type of place?
No, she lives in Greenberg.
Oh, okay.
But she belonged to many organizations, and some of them have become livable community villages. See, our livable community villages are basically relationship villages. They're not necessarily geographical boundaries.
Yeah.
It could be from your house of worship, but also your civic service organization where you volunteered for years.
Wow.
So, basically, you know, we're training our staff and we're using our staff to be able to coordinate and train and recruit volunteers. We're sort of leveraging. These people are really very good. They're qualified. They've been with the county for many years, and they're more than able to go out and train volunteers.
Mr. Chester.
I have no questions. I remember the interview when we had you for the accident.
Seems like yesterday.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we've...
We're very lucky
to have you back. Very glad to have you back in the position you're in. I think the administration has done a very wise thing in asking you to come, to return. And I think we're a very happy crowd, so thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
See you later.
This whole turning pro thing, where are we going? You know, full committee stuff. I'm just not used to this stuff.
Are you nervous?
Well, yeah, the pressure is building. Anyway, may I have a motion?
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we approve May.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Well, Melanie is getting... Okay.
Yes.
I do want to bring up, and we need to get cracking on this. I have a resume for somebody for Board of Health that we, I don't know. I'll have to check. I don't think it's gone in. I guess I need to get it on for communications.
It's on.
Is it?
It came down on the Thursday.
This is our appointment?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we had another, we lost one, not lost, but he resigned
that
one of our
Adele.
MDs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got to find another MD.
And that's ours also?
Huh?
That's our appointment?
They're all ours for Board of Health. But it's replacing Harold, who they're trying to keep it so it's sort of geographically diverse, obviously. The trouble is that the meetings are all in New Rochelle, and what I'm told is that the, you know, the northern people in Westchester really have no great interest in schlepping all the way down.
Yeah.
But Adele had been in, he had been in Sleepy Hollow, so which I count as sort of middle to up, right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah,
if we can...
Half. In the lower half.
Is it? Well, anyway, we need a new MD.
Okay.
So if anybody... we just
okay,
have
but
to
the,
start
but all
putting the word
of, you're
out.
Saying that all the Board of Health is Board of Legislators appointments?
Yeah. Well, yes. The city representatives...
Yeah, that's the apportionment, but I didn't realize...
have to come through the chief elected official of that municipality,
okay.
And they have to offer us three individuals, and we make the selection.
First among three, okay.
But those positions are all filled.
All appointments by us.
But the MD is an at-large,
okay.
And the other position that was vacated was an at-large.
Okay, well, then we need to get that out, and we should work on a strategy for it.
Yeah. I guess I could also write a email to everybody and say, ask your physicians if they want.
Okay, let's get Kathy and keep it moving. George, I assume you're on the mailing list, but the chairman has now elevated this committee to a full-size committee,
yes,
or a full committee. So we're turning pro, as far as I can tell.
I'm sorry, what?
We're turning pro. We have to have, well, there has to be paperwork now. You know, whereas before, we just done everything by voice and that sort of thing, because it's all been a recommendation up to legislation. And now it's directly to the board. So we have to keep this stuff up.
So it doesn't have to go back to legislation at all?
No. No.
But we should get larger then.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably something that we've got to recommend to the chairman. I think we're a committee of three plus the chairman, and I think we probably ought to be at least four plus the chairman, or five, as the case may be. I don't know.
No, we're a committee of four plus the chairman. Right?
No, four.
Oh, Nona is here. That's right. Nona is with us. So it's four plus the chairman.
John,
so
Nona,
go to five.
John tested me and
right.
Bill.
We should go to
no,
five.
Three plus, he's the chairman.
Right. Well,
oh.
Member. But members.
Right? Yes, John.
Oh, I thought you meant chairman of the board.
No, chairman Jenkins.
So you did mean Chairman Jenkins.
I'm getting too tangled up in my own feet here. Four members of the Board of Legislators, one of whom is the chairman of the board.
Got it.
If we add another plain old member, that would give us five.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And that would be fine.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Committee on Officers and Departments, COD.
Yeah, it used to be COD.
Do you have a good holiday season?
I did, thank you. I did.
Did you go away?
No. You know, just reacclimated in my house since I haven't been in it in months.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
My number is
86700. For the record, please, you state your name and your position.
Sure. Kathleen O'Connor. I guess I'm still acting, or a commissioner. I'm sorry, I don't know anymore. Commissioner of the Parks Department. Or acting to be the commissioner.
Yeah. Okay. The as you went through when we did the acting commissioner's interview, the board uses these opportunities just to catch up with what's going on, and there are obviously a number of issues, but I'd like to start off with Playland. Mm-hmm. And if you could give us an update on the RFP and the whole process of what's going on.
The latest update is that obviously there have been lots of inquiries. We don't know it until March 10th what's legit or who is just chit-chatting. Peter Tattaglia, who I work with in our department, has given probably 14, 15 professional tours before the snows came. Nobody wants to come out in the snow. And we've got a lot of requests, a lot of different discussions, to be perfectly honest. We have no idea at this point what's going to come of it, if it's going to be a hybrid of different ideas, or nothing comes of it, whatever. But March 10th, I believe it's 5 p.m. or whatever, that would be whatever comes in, then that's what we start to work with and start to talk about. So as far as the RFP goes, that's where we're at.
Has there been an RFP committee put together yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. In the process of, we were just talking about that. I would dare say very near, they'll be doing it. And it might consist of different, maybe an advisory committee or an active committee. I'm not sure. I would assume that I'm certainly part of that. I want to be
so.
Part. Oh, yeah. No, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Because I had written a letter to the county executive asking the city of Rye itself is very eager to have some representation
on
there.
I think what our plan is probably sometime in March as the RFPs come back. I mean, all that's going to happen, we're debating a couple of things. One is the situation in terms of how much of it becomes immediately public, only for proprietary reasons. We don't want somebody who has a proposal. First of all, hopefully we get that many proposals that we have this problem. Mm-hmm. But you know, when somebody's got a proposal in there trying to sneak a peek at somebody else's and tweak theirs before they get any kind of thing. So initially there's going to be probably a small window where they just will come in and get reviewed and maybe preliminarily ranked in some fashion. Then we are...
By whom?
By people in parks.
By through parks.
Staff. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, by our
got
parks
it.
People. We are putting together a committee. You know, the board, I think we're probably going to have two or three legislators, hopefully, on that as
good.
Well. We've already talked to Mayor French about whether he wants to, there's one committee they already have in the city.
Yes.
I don't know whether he wants to use those same people, whether he just wants to use maybe himself and a council member. We'll leave that up to him, just like we'll leave the legislators up to them. And then we'll put some people from the PRC board on it as well.
Okay.
And that will be, you know, those people will review the finalists, and then, you know, we don't know how this is going to play out. There may be one person that takes the whole thing. We're thinking there may be people that want to look at just the ice casino and use that for something, and other people that may want to use wood. So in the end, it's going to be just figuring out who's got what's the best, working collaboratively, and we may end up having to put two or three of the responders together saying, you guys work this out, because, you know, Vendor A, you did a great thing with the ice casino, but what you want to do the Playland and the kiddie park is terrible. And somebody else who comes in with that may have something crazy for open. So that's the type of thing that we're looking at, a lot of flexibility with this.
Mm-hmm. To the ice casino, if I may, what are the plans, if you know, for the ice casino this coming summer? Or this coming season? I mean, is it going to be up and running the whole time?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
And then what happens next summer?
The ice casino is just continuing as it is at this point. It's a money maker.
Yeah.
It's one of our revenue sources, sure. It's off the record, if there's such a thing.
No, there's such a thing. We're being recorded.
Yeah, okay. It is on the record.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's the end of that answer.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, just in my opinion, and I'm certainly not the last word, I don't know if anybody's really going to come in and work with the ice casino. That's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
I think it's either people that are concerned with the amusement park itself, boardwalk area, any of the flatland out there, whatever. I don't know if anyone's really going to touch the ice casino. But the ice casino is full blast, full running.
Right.
Just incorporated another college. Manhattan. That's their home ice now, Manhattan College. as well as Manhattanville.
Wow.
And a lot of the local in the city.
Oh, wow.
In the city. By Columbia, actually. So we are now there.
And they have a hockey team?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's so the good. Ice Casino, you know, knock on wood, is doing very well as we speak.
Good.
So
glad to hear.
The Children's Museum has been proposed as an adjunct to Playland. Is this been included in the RFP? The physical space that's proposed for the Children's Museum, is that in the RFP?
Well, the way it's mentioned is, it's so long ago we put out
I have
RFP.
It right here.
Yeah, but there's a two or three, I think two paragraphs on it saying that there's been a proposal for a Children's Museum. You may wish to include that in your response to the proposal. I think that's pretty much what it says.
So. Okay. And it hasn't gone any further than that? You haven't been made aware of any proposed additions to the concept?
No.
Because there's obviously been a lot of running around here and moving dominoes around, but I am not aware of anything further, although the people who have been pushing it have been saying that they have reached their fundraising goals. Mm-hmm. And so we're a number of us are looking at this very seriously in both directions, because whether it's an appropriate use, which I happen to believe it is, whether it's financially feasible, which I happen to be skeptical, and what we ultimately wind up doing is part of this proposal on Playland, and I'm glad to hear that it's mentioned and is still on the top of George's tongue, which is great, because I think we really want to be sure that this is not just sort of tossed on the side and forgotten. It's I think, very important to a number of us. So. And then you have a few other parks that are in your jurisdiction.
18,000 acres.
Yes. And a number of swimming pools.
Number of swimming pools.
One of which is a Playland.
Right.
There was some controversy about the inclusion of the pool for use this summer. Mm-hmm. As you know, the vetoes and overrides flew around. Are you planning on opening the pool this summer?
Yes. The answer is, at this point, I believe so. I just had conversation with my immediate bosses, and we're close to saying yes, we're definitely probably going to be open again. For a number of reasons, but yes.
Okay, well, we're glad to hear that.
There'll
That's
be a lot of hot people who will be happy.
Right.
Now, we realize that there have been problems with the pool physically and conceptually even, but we did that for a reason, and I think a lot of us are very glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Members will be. We'll be pleased to hear that.
It's not 100%, but as of just a conversation a little while ago, it looks like we're heading in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there any, I can go parochial now, John and I can talk about the Upper West Side parks, Croton Point, and all that, but are you aware of any substantial issues that are going to prevent us opening in 2011 in any different way than 2010?
Oh, no. No, at this point, I believe I discussed it with you the first time when we chatted as acting commissioner. We took a substantial hit of 54 people and a lot of very talented people, people with all the historical knowledge and that type of thing. But we are in the process of redeploying, as we've said, and retraining and doing a lot of professional in-house training. We're good to go. I mean, we have a few changes. We might not be cutting the grass twice a week. It might be once a week on our huge facilities. But overall, we're still, it's safety, security, professional integrity. We don't ever want the parks to look like nobody cares or that, you know, we're just getting by. I'm very excited, and I'm not being Pollyanna. I know there's a lot of things facing all of us and me in this new position, but I'm excited with the staff that I have working with me. They're very happy it's me, but I think part of that is because it's the devil they know, as opposed to who might have been coming in the door. I don't kid myself. But they're very supportive, and they're very, I'm challenging them big time. Out of the box, this is what you've got. You've got $10. This is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. This is what, you know, and don't tell me that I can't make it work. So there are challenges. There's definitely challenges. But overall, I think we're on a good path, and they're excited. And my job is to get them, to keep them excited and to keep the morale up, because when the morale is up, I can get tons out of them. and I've said it before, we're a MASH unit. Mm-hmm. We have morphed to lots of different changes and lots of different good, bad, and everything in the middle. And we pride ourselves on doing that and doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward. I hate the winter. So we're really looking forward to the warm weather and being back, you know, out in the parks. And, you know, although we have people that thoroughly enjoy the study, you know, Kensico Dam is still crowded.
Yeah.
You know, we plow the area and they walk, you know. And same thing with the boardwalk.
Oh, I know.
You know. And unless it's an absolute blizzard, they're still out there. I still get calls all the time. We have a lot of cool events that we do in the winter. And Eagle Fest up at, if you're interested, February 5th, it's a Saturday, up at Croquet Park.
T-Town, all over.
It is just, you can't believe it. It's a big part of it is indoors. They rent tents and heat the tents, and you could be in a tent top. I mean, it's that warm. But the eagles and what they bring in, and, you know, it's just a really cool...
Bird eagles.
Bird eagles.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Not Boy Scout.
Oh, no,
eagles.
No, no.
Okay.
No, birds of prey. And they have fabulous people come in and do demonstrations with it. And then they put you in a bus and take you over to Croton Gorge or take you up to George's Island. We have nesting areas that are now highlighted for the eagles. And when you see an eagle up close, you know, you think you know eagles. Well, there's a million different kinds, and they're magnificent. So it was a home run. It's our third year doing it. And so we do a lot in the wintertime, too. So, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
One of the big things in one of the tents at Croton Point is the Raptors guy who comes in. And he's got a lot of birds that have been crippled in one way or another, shot or broken legs or whatever. And you can get up close and personal with these animals.
Wow.
And there's nothing more fun than be looking straight into the eyes of a bald eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who wants to say, my subject, what do you want?
Right. Yes,
with
exactly.
The talons that are about this long, you know, they could do damage in a heartbeat. But it was very cool. It was packed. We had a tremendous turnout.
Now, is there an admission fee? I mean,
it's free.
This is free?
It's free. Mm-hmm.
Wow. But it's first come, first serve.
Yeah. Wow.
This is sponsored. Friends of Westchester County Park Sponsors is a big sponsor, plus a few other people. It's a low, you know, there's not a huge cost. The cost is really the tent and the staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And we have refreshments and whatnot, but, you know, it's free. It's a
lot
of public, yeah.
Okay, Mr. Test.
No questions from me. Everything's great.
All the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah, we already put it through the mill once already.
I know.
Well, this is our update shot.
Yeah,
we were updated.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You haven't gotten gray.
No,
that's good. Oh,
thank you.
Either that or a good stylist.
Neil
Levertown.
Yes.
You and Ronald Reagan. Fair
that's
enough.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much for coming.
Terrific.
Great.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Everybody.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. May I have a motion to approve?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Absolutely.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
George, did they end up doing a nationwide search?
No. We actually did, we put out some feelers. We actually had two people who were formerly in New York State. But the situation, the decrease in the department with some of the other things, we thought continuity. Plus, Kathy, in the time since Joe left, you know, had really earned her stripes.
Yeah.
So the feeling was, by, you know, maybe
it was if it ain't broke.
Better off with the, you know, than, you know, but also somebody else trying to get up to speed and everything. It's just with the
No, I was always a little worried about that, only because of all the brain drain anyway and the history drain.
Right. So we actually interviewed two other people, like I said, that had worked for the state, and there were some local people. Believe it or not, I tried to recruit a couple local people, and their salaries were better than what we want.
Really? Than we pay?
Some municipalities are more than 150.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
For their recreation directors?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
So why would you take on more responsibility for less?
Less money. Absolutely. Well, I mean, we've got a lot of those problems with the correction department, too, right? You got the... assistant wardens and that sort of thing.
Oh, making more than
the guys they supervise.
Plus there's overtime. Yeah.
Well, but the effect of it is you wind up taking a pay cut to take on more responsibility there. And while that's a discussion for another day, I think we're aware of this, and you certainly were when you were here. All right, moving right along.
Ed Burroughs. No relation to Gordon.
Not
spelled the same way. You know what? We should probably finish this.
Have you, John, did you finish reading the minutes?
No, but I have some questions.
Okay.
We're missing minutes.
That's why I asked it, because if you had said it, I wouldn't have asked it.
I mean, it's on the, they're on the list, but they're not here?
No, we're there was a meeting that we had with Kimberly, what was her name? Kimberly Morella and Alex Rodriguez, and we couldn't vote on them.
Close enough.
We couldn't vote on them because we didn't have a quorum.
Oh, God, that's right.
Whatever happened to them?
I don't remember. I'll have to. It's the problem with being slightly informal.
So the, I see I that. Really. I don't remember, recall the exact date of that meeting, but we don't have the minutes for that meeting.
Well, but what about the ones we've got?
We should be voting for these people, shouldn't we?
Well, I think we do. We've got a number of things that we've sort of let slide at the end of the year. I think we'll now be clearing these up. Have you ever been to the Eagle Fest?
No.
At some point, it's almost like vultures flying in the sky, you know, over carrion on the field. Only they're not. They're not stirred up, but they're just so damn many of them. It's wild up at
a lot of people.
Up at the dam and at Croton Point, there are just a lot of eagles.
Oh, I mean, in the wild, you're talking.
Yeah.
I thought you meant at this fest.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, no, there are. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
We've got two nests.
They've migrated. They used to be down by...
I wasn't here for this one.
Down by Bear Mountain Bridge a lot.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah. People used to go up to the lookout there and look for them.
I'm glad you guys did try to squeeze in the new DSS guy at the same time.
Did he know Kevin Mann?
Yes, but just in passing, because they've kind of...
Yeah, because Kevin came from Maryland, too.
He met him at his retirement party, at Kevin Mann's retirement party, because McGuire worked it for the city up until 2003.
Yeah.
And I think that's when, I'm trying to remember when Kevin Mann came up here. It might have been shortly before that.
It's so funny, the minute I saw...
I know. Well, what do you think we felt when we waited? What's going on?
Yeah, really.
And it's the same initials.
And oh, geez.
You know how many times upstairs somebody says Kevin Mann when we mean McGuire? It's a lot. He's a great guy. I'm sorry. I know it was a bad time for a date for you guys to come up and meet him.
Yeah, it was. I would love to have come myself.
Yeah. Hello there. How are you?
Hiya. We've become slightly formal now, so I'm going to have to ask you to give us your full name and the position for which you're applying so that we have this on the record. And we're recording. We haven't done in the past 5.
Edward Burroughs, and for the position of Commissioner of Planning.
Okay. We're doing a number of things as we usually do when we get formal here. We want you to would like you to give us a sort of a recap of where you think the department has gone over, say, the last year. Things have obviously changed. Where you think that you've taken the department, where you want to take it. And any issues?
Years.
Well, let's try for a year and see what we get out of it.
I was thinking longer term. The past year has been exciting for me, just to be able to meet other departments and all, and better see a bigger picture where the department's fitting in. I think we have done well at exploring our partnerships with other departments in terms of, you know, planning is somewhat unique in that not being an operating department, our main role, like through the capital budget process and through others, is to work with other departments and build a consensus, build the capital budget proposals. And that interaction is very exciting. Besides that, within the department, working with the volunteers are serving on the county planning board has been very exciting too, as we've gone further with Westchester 2025, which has kind of been low profile this past year, mm-hmm. but a lot's going on behind the scenes that we hope to build on this coming year with, you know, completing a process actually by 2012, got 3 years right here. In terms of the website and working partnerships, we've worked with about a third of the Westchester municipalities already in terms of doing some background work with them on build-out analysis, and that's all going to pay off, I think, in doing a county plan and really looking at it in more detailed level than we've ever done in the past. So it's kind of low profile this past year, but the groundwork's there to go forward.
Now, if I may, just
sure.
Do you utilize planning staff when you work on that? I mean, is it just the planning board?
No, it's the work, the day-to-day work's being done by the planning staff. Okay. No outside consultants either. I mean, it's all in-house staff.
Wow.
And meeting with the planning board for updates, reports, guidance at their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're setting the direction and we're doing the work.
Wow.
Yeah. Where was I?
It was by design. She was supposed to throw you off.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Of course, another element which is exciting is implementing the housing settlement, which has its own unique challenges this year, which we haven't dealt with in the past, but taking years of experience in doing affordable housing and making that work under a specific timeline and funding line. I think we've done a great job this year of picking up projects that have already been in play that probably haven't moved ahead because of the economy. The hard work begins now and moving forward and finding projects that can be done by 2016. That's going to be our challenge going forward. But I think, you know, there's a great team in place of professionals in the planning department who've done this for years and to build on that. But we really then have to start working more with municipalities now with the model zoning ordinance provisions and other things which are part of the settlement and seeing how we can facilitate that. So that's what we see going forward. But again, groundwork was laid this past year.
And those are the two main elements of the department's activity?
They're more high-profile ones. We continue to do a significant amount of work, for example, through the Soil and Water Conservation District, which is its own board, but the Planning Department staffs that with the district and district leader. I don't know what its title is for the Soil and Water Conservation District is a staff person. But doing a lot of smaller projects in terms of wetland restorations, rain gardens, and other kinds of things across the county, which I think are very significant. I don't think we've really done enough to make them demonstrations, you know, and say, people here, go see this somewhere
else. You
know,
I've noticed that.
I think that's what we're going to work on this year.
Because I keep telling people to go over even just to the county center parking lot.
Right.
And they keep saying, well, why don't we know about this?
Yeah.
You know, we do need a little more in the way of communication
there. That's what we've talked
about.
Yeah. You know, we've got enough out there
more
now
PR.
That we can really say, you know, go out anywhere in the county and see some of these projects.
Yeah.
And that's being done, you know, manipulating, using state funds that are provided through the conservation district with not much expense to county taxpayers, but again, using in-house staff to advantage there. Of course, going on, coming up this year, will be the application process for the next three-year cycle for community-owned block grants,
mm-hmm.
which I hope will go smoothly, mm-hmm. and I hope there'll be money from the federal government to do that. We're finishing up, you'll be seeing the 2011, which is the last year of the cycle for this three-year cycle, will be coming up this spring, but then application will be going out for the next three-year cycle, so hopefully the money's there and the communities just remain interested in that.
Well, the difference there is that the targeted communities of the settlement.
Eligible communities.
We use our own term.
I remember legislators used to say that, too.
And then the ones that have already, you know, have not been included in mm-hmm. the CDBG process, has there been any feeling in how that...
No, I think we'll look for... I mean, the application process will be the application process if it comes mm-hmm. back in. And historically, most of the money has gone to the most needy communities, needy in the sense that they meet the low MOD qualifications, which are not the eligible communities under the settlement. That probably can't change because of regulations, and it probably shouldn't change because that's what the investment is in terms of building communities, in terms of that kind of infrastructure work. We do have a commitment to set aside a portion of that funds to nurture affordable housing in the eligible communities. How we accomplish that comes from what the applications are. So, you know, if somebody comes in with something, we'd certainly give that some priority.
Mm-hmm.
But the bulk of the money will continue to go to the villages and towns that have the income qualifications.
There had been some talk from a number of communities about pulling out of the consortium. Has that Are you aware of anyone who's made a definitive statement on this?
There certainly has been some talk, not recently. There was one letter we received from the village of Bronxville saying they would not continue. That is the only actual real notification. That was now maybe 8 months ago when they said that. So I'm not sure going forward if some of these issues that they thought might be a problem have been resolved or not, because we've done a lot of work in terms of IMAs and getting these agreements together, how the money can go through, and the terms may be more reasonable now that they, well, not necessarily reasonable, they understand what the terms are and can live with them. But we'll see as we go forward.
So Bronxville technically is out then?
Well, they're not out. You can't out.
Oh, you can't
in the
out.
Middle of the cycle.
Got it.
But
when do they have to sign on, though?
It would be through the application process this coming year. They'd have to sign a new agreement.
So it's sometime by the end of the year, or
yes,
November or October, or what?
Well, and they'll take the choice not to apply for anything.
Right, but that drop dead date for application is when?
Will be, I think we're going out in February with a target for applications in by April.
Oh, okay. So it's actually coming up.
Oh, yes,
coming pretty quickly.
Yes.
Let me ask you, if a community decides not to participate, does that prevent any of the non-for-profits in their community from participating or putting in applications?
I don't know the direct answer to that. I don't think so, because, I mean, they can apply on their own if
they're
target the area where they're saving, yes. I need to confirm that, but I don't think that.
My memory of this, though, was that we got more money the more communities or the more
population
we had in there. So the withdrawal of Mount Pleasant's never participated, but Bronxville or in Austin or Peekskill could somewhat seriously impact the amount of money that we would be eligible for.
Certainly.
And then that's why I'm questioning as to whether or not we've got anybody. Bronxville is small, and we can recognize that. But
I mean, the concern had been a lot of the northern Westchester communities, which really don't get money coming back from community development grant other than some senior programs. Mm-hmm. But there's a significant population base there, and they're the ones who said we don't want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've really been doing it for years for the benefit of the entire consortium,
right.
And we hope they continue to do that.
Yeah, and that's, I think, important that we have. So we'll know, and I'd appreciate it because we may or may not remember to ask you this question again in the next couple of months, if you would let us know as you're getting a firmer and firmer outline of who's in and who should be in but isn't yet, if you could let us know, because a number of our members would probably want to reach out in situations like this because of the effects, as you say, of the entire
thing. Sure. Definitely want to do that. And you will be hearing a lot more about it because these more things will be coming to you in the
great.
Couple months, too.
Okay.
You didn't mention as one of the exciting things coming up this year, the Flood Action Task Force. As you can imagine, I was very disturbed and saddened to see the veto of the stormwater legislation. And in the veto message, and we met recently with George, I mean, it did specifically state that there were issues with commissioners. Have you in any way given any thought about clearly want to make sure this keeps moving. We don't want to drop it. And we have so much background information that's been developed, so much in-house information. And the reason I asked about the staff working on 2025, I mean, that's sort of the same way that we had envisioned moving forward with sort of codifying the Flood Action Task Force and making it a real, you know, a real part of a real policy. And I'm sure you knew, I mean, we even overrode, we put people back in your department lines mm-hmm. because they did have such a good working knowledge of what so many of the municipalities were very interested in. Have you given any thought to how we can...
Yeah, let me work backwards from that, from the staff level. I mean,
yeah.
From the point of, one thing we're going to be working on is more integration of the professionals and the staff. One, is that considering flood mitigation or stormwater mitigation and 2025 planning are not separate things.
No.
And we really want to integrate that. So we want to pull in the entire staff to make sure we have a consistent message. Same thing with economic development. I mean, it is the same message, and we're really going to strive to integrate that and not, you know, like, oh, you're an environmental planner and you're somebody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to
mm-hmm.
get over that, which I think will really increase our resources, too, and our ability to talk to municipalities. No matter what we're talking about, we can bring up whatever seems to be the appropriate thing to bring up. There were some concerns about the proposed legislation, and I am fully aware the task force members are eminently qualified, brilliant people, including a brilliant former planning commissioner, mm-hmm. who did most of the drafting. And I think our concern in the current draft, and talk to George, is to find a way to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is how much we can focus on it. And I think we can accomplish a lot of the goals, for example, by priorities. And I don't have the answers yet. Instead of saying, okay, we do a reconnaissance plan for the entire county at once. There are areas of the county, if we can quantify and identify and agree with the municipalities, are not really having flood issues right now.
Right.
Focus on where the municipalities say they need it, mm-hmm. and the communities and the evidence says they need it. And do that first. Instead of saying, let's do everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think we can find a path to do that.
Right.
And also getting more reliance on the communities that, who have done various studies over the years and may have forgotten because there's a lot of turnover.
Oh,
at local
yeah.
level.
Well, look at even, we went back through all of the studies that the county had.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
it was unbelievable. We went all, we found stuff going back to the late 1800s. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of study.
And I think, you know, having a aggressive in the right sense of working with the municipalities and drawing on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always concerned about is using money to hire consultants to do work, and it's always not turned out well, almost always, in my experience. So I'd rather do things in-house,
mm-hmm.
working with municipalities, and coming up on a target area like, we know here's a problem, how are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can work toward that.
Okay. Has Peter reached out to you, Eschweiler?
Not yet. I think we're waiting to see where we're
okay.
going.
Okay. Okay.
But we'll certainly have discussions.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
So, are you planning on the staff that we put back into mm-hmm. the budget? Are you integrating them in the same roles that they had before their jobs were at least temporarily eliminated, or how are you working that new staff in?
Their jobs were supposed to be eliminated. They were doing their jobs up till December 31st and continuing to do the job that they were doing. So, yes, they're fully integrated. And what we may be doing is, as I said, and we don't have the answer yet because we're starting to have discussions of not shortening any of the programs, but making sure we have the best resources assigned to it. With that, for example, we have people who think they're full-time working for the Soil and Water Conservation District. We may not need that because we get integrated with other stormwater programs we're doing. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We also now have an opportunity to, those staff people, we're doing programs that have ended. So we do have to invent new roles for them, which we'll do. I mean, there's not enough work out there to do.
Right.
And so we just want to identify what those resources are and train them if it takes some. If it takes that step, but you know, be able to articulate what our priorities are for you and for the administration, and get the resources out there to do it.
We put people back though in specific positions,
yes.
and presumably they were fully engaged in those positions before the cutbacks arrived. And what you're suggesting, I think, is that you don't intend to use those people fully in the positions that they were in, but you're going to job part of their time out elsewhere.
Well, the programs, specifically one of them, the program that this planner was doing almost full-time, ended this year. The grant for it ended. So she needs new assignments. So it's not having her do that. It's just that was the end of that program. It was a 3-year program to do stormwater outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is our stream monitoring. The position that was in there was not the person doing that. It was a senior person who, you know, depending on what happened, that person who was slight would have been going out anyway because this is the way bumping or whatever it works. But that program, so a full-time person doing that job has to be reprogrammed, so to speak, because that program ended also. We can do that. I mean, that's, you know, under the pressures that we saw that to maintain, reduce government costs, that it seemed the likely thing because programs were ending rather than come up with new programs. If we had to make cuts, that was the logical choice, and that's why those programs were selected. People are there now, we're going
to
use them.
Okay, John.
Good.
All right, I've got a couple of things that I'd like to talk about. The Cooperative Assessment Commission, which we've had working for the last 2 years, is I think if they haven't, they will be shortly finishing the overflights on all of the property within the county.
Okay.
That was funded by this board in the 2009 budget. We didn't get the overflights because of the weather taking us out, but now we've got them. We had intended to be able to take a lot of the data and put it into the into a database, which was, I believe, going to be managed by this department. Is that correct? Am I right about remembering that?
It's actually an IT project with the Tax Commission.
Right, so but is it not something that also comes through you?
We would use it, but yes. I think the primary maintenance of that was through IT.
Okay. But the data itself obviously will reside in IT computers.
Right.
But the graphic analysis and the generating of a lot of the information that comes out of that is going to also reside in IT, not through the planning department.
Well, we want to make the best use of it. I mean, the primary use of it will be the towns and the cities for their assessment purposes. So what they do with it, but the fact that we have those photography available, we certainly want to find ways of making sure that's available and used.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be working partnership with IT.
Okay.
Gathering the data is all there. So, you know, once we're going to come up with ways of trying to use it, separate from the assessment stuff, to what we're legally allowed to do, because I don't know if there's restrictions on it or not. But,
I'd also like to talk about Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
This board passed a resolution instructing you to continue the program. And in point of fact, the individuals, I believe there are 49 positions and 40 individuals, were laid off by the end of the year. Can you explain for us in relatively simple terms how and why that came about despite a specific resolution from this board?
Well, the actual decision to end the contract was made in
late October,
which set everything in motion in terms of the state then setting up to initially run the program on an interim basis and solicit for new providers to run the program. So that had started immediately upon letter notification.
You had signed that letter?
Yes.
And was that letter, you signed it, the decision was yours?
It was certainly my recommendation, yes. I mean, I don't do anything unilaterally outside the administration, but my recommendation was, yes, the county should not be doing a Section 8 program.
Okay. Then this board passed a resolution, and that resolution has not been implemented. What was your reasoning behind this?
Again, the fact that there's a resolution saying I should certainly do something is something I would discuss with the rest of the administration. I mean, again, I don't do things unilaterally, and the decision was there was nothing for me to do. But the course had been set in motion.
You could have written a letter, as we had asked, to rescind the letter to the state.
As an individual, no.
As the commissioner, the person who'd originally signed the contract, and you chose not to do so.
Correct.
On your own?
No.
Through the administration?
Not. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, everything is decided, you know, as I said, it's not unilateral decisions.
And the individuals who were put back in the budget after the veto and the override process were brought in on Thursday, the last day of the year, and their keys were turned in and all the rest of it. And that was your decision as well?
Well, it ended up 47 were left at the end because there were 48 positions, people were actually there. One found a job in Yorktown at the Section 8 office there. So 47 people left in the office. But all 48 did receive a letter on December 1st from Human Resources saying they were terminated at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, their termination was, they were notified on December 1st. So it was carrying out a decision that they had already been notified of on December 1st. When I wrote to them at the end of the month was to remind them that based on all the somewhat confusion going on whether we're in or out, saying as far as the standing within the county was, you were notified you were being terminated. Termination takes place on December 31st. You should turn in your badges and your keys. Because as of December 31st, there was no contract with the state. These positions were in a trust fund in past budgets. There was no money to pay them. Positions were terminated.
And the program
ceased.
And so despite the resolution of this board, that was what was done.
Yes.
Okay. In regard to the settlement, your office, and particularly Norma Drummond, has, at least in my opinion, been terrific. You have done a lot of the background work. I think the administration has done a more than credible job in trying to respond to it in an environment where I'm in the fire department, and we have smoke tests where you can't see beyond the end of your nose, and I don't think this environment has been allowing you to see beyond the beginning of your nose. So the fact that you've gotten this far is, I think, a credit to all involved, and I mean that sincerely. It is, on the other hand, now, we've been going on for more than a year with this, and we've had three shoot-downs, we're going to be seeing Mary and I assume you and Norma tomorrow to get a more full-blown review of this. But the... Is that you? Oh, that's serious.
Oh, boy.
That's the one you better answer now.
Yeah, right.
That's from the boss. Nevertheless, the process is slower than we would like in the sense not of getting... properties to come forward. I think that's been one of the great surprises of all this process. And in my town, with two projects coming through from Briarcliff, which stunned the world as far as we were concerned, that's been a terrific. I think you've generated a climate of trust and belief, which I think will go a long way, probably to keeping some people in the CDBG program as well. But the AI has been a real problem. We've gotten some pretty heavy fire back from the from HUD and, to a lesser extent, the monitor in regard to the marketing plan and some of the other elements. What stage are you at in terms of preparing the response? I mean, Mary will tell us officially, and George will tell us tomorrow about where we are in revising that and getting it back to HUD. But in terms of the shifts that the department has had to make in either gathering new data or taking a new look at old data, where are we on that?
There's an essential problem which HUD and the monitor put us in that the analysis of impediments is to incorporate the implementation plan as its implementation plan. We're criticized by HUD for not having enough detailing analysis of impediments for how you're going to implement it, but we don't have an approved implementation plan. We have all kinds of steps in the implementation plan. So in one sense, it's like we've got to get an implementation plan approved so we can put in an analysis of impediments, because that always was seen as the steps to deal with the impediments. I mean, that I think is an overarching thing. I mean, it's kind of a trap they kind of put us into. Other than that, I think we'll go through it and see. My take on it, there's a lot of verbiage in HUD's report that if you come down to it, there, I think we can address it, but I think it really is being specific on the implementation steps. And I think we've had some of those, but we've got no feedback from the monitor on whether they're adequate or not.
Do you have a relationship with the monitor? Do you work with the monitor at all?
We don't have one-on-one meetings.
No.
we with the monitor, we meet as a team with him from Westchester and his team also, including the Pratt people at the appropriate times who are his advisors.
Right.
So it is a group meeting. And it's all very colloquial, but it's all very slow. Because we said we gave you stuff in August, and as you said, we have projects now, we want to move to marketing, but we don't have a marketing plan. We're engaged now in an exercise to explore marketing with the monitor at his suggestion, but how long is that going to draw us out? I mean, we're more eager to do things than continue the studies.
Can I just ask your decision to, it wasn't you unilaterally, but the decision that ended with you sending the letter getting us out of the Section 8 business, had you discussed that at all prior with the monitor, that this was an area that Westchester County was going to be moving in?
I think the county executive.
Say
the county executive did.
Spoke to the monitor.
Yes.
I see.
As he did prior to the vetoing of the source of income.
I see.
Gave my heads up on both of those.
So the county executive prefigured the dropping of the Section 8 before we knew about it with the monitor?
I think it was the same day that everything was done is the day we gave the monitor a call, just as a courtesy. Very often the county executive directly will call Jim Johnson with something that's that he thinks the monitor should know about before he picks it up in the Journal News or some other way.
Okay. Let me finish that one.
It just somehow doesn't. make the whole fair housing, fair and affordable housing arena really sort of, I don't even know how to put it in words, but the very, it almost seems like we could be doing things that are sort of flaunting, and I know legally we weren't legally bound to keep Section 8, but it just seems like it's sending a wrong message when we're subject to a settlement agreement and a stipulation that, you know, and then to do things that in a way could seem like they're sort of a poke in the eye, basically.
Well, the Section 8 program wasn't being eliminated. The people were still being serviced. It wasn't like it was removed from the county.
No, but I think it just...
The administration was just changed. That's
saying
all.
We don't want to have anything to do with it. It just seems like a... I don't know. If I were the monitor, I would think that was really odd.
It wasn't the most orderly planned process, the dropping of the Section 8 program from county control. It was done... as it had to be, a letter on or before the 31st of October. But there was no preparation for this, and so we're doing the stagger step administration process now. I gather that the state has moved into some space at 112?
Yes, the Section 8 office.
Yeah, and they brought some sort of a skeleton crew along to try to keep things going, but it is going to go till mid-March before the vendor's in place and they've hired the staff and all the rest of it, and we don't know, of course, who that's going to be. When is that response due to them? Do you know?
We was due today.
Today?
Yeah.
Cool. So maybe we'll know whether we're even going to have a local administrative component on that. I suppose they'll tell us there's no point in any of us calling them up and asking them. But it did seem, I mean, it didn't seem, it was both abrupt and off-putting in the way it was done, and a lot of people just felt that this was not could have been done in a far more orderly fashion, in a far more inclusive fashion, process for those of us here and in the community that served. And you've said that it was not your decision alone to do this, and the consequences obviously had to have been thought through by yourself and the administration, but it's nevertheless a matter of considerable concern and sticks in the craw of a number of us that it was done the way it was. And we're just going to have to see whether... I don't think we're... The dream that we're going to have a local nonprofit organization pick this up, I don't think is going to happen. I think that their RFP does not... Since it requires that you already operate a Section 8 program and that you be a public housing authority, a PHA, precludes anybody really aside from what White Plains and Yonkers and whoever else is in that situation from picking it up. I mean, maybe the city of New York would, I gather they've been tossing around the idea. But a lot of this very much concerns us, and I think we feel that this was not done in the best way it could have been. And so... I think we want to make that clear all the way around. Anyone else? Ed, thank you very much. You got a tough job. It's I don't know that I'd want your job, even though I think I once did.
Thanks
thank
for coming
you.
In.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Then may I have a motion on Mr. Burrows?
I'll make the motion.
I have a second. All right, the motion fails for lack of a second. May I have a second motion? Motion to disprove this nomination?
To disprove the nomination?
To disapprove,
yeah, I'll make that motion.
Okay, I'll second it. Discussion.
I
think this is new to us all, John.
I think he's the person for the job. He's not Jerry Mulligan. Jerry was great. And he's not Peter Eschweiler. He doesn't have the same leadership capability, I don't think.
I think we approved the same guy for a different job when we put him in as the acting commissioner.
The same guy for a different job.
The job that it was when he was put in as acting commissioner.
Right.
He is a position of carrying out programs that were pretty broadly supported, and I just felt totally blindsided by the Section 8 thing, and then
it was just following the process of it's a year to year contract.
Oh, I don't disagree, but it's been a contract since 1975.
You know, there could have been discussion. There could have been all sorts of things. I was very upset with the fact that he never came to the Flood Action Task Force meetings. We reached out to him a lot. And you know, and then to have in the veto message saying that he didn't approve what we were well, where was he during all of the time that we were talking? We kept asking him to come to meetings. He didn't come to legislation.
He'll just remain as the acting then for indefinite period.
Well, that's what we have to discuss. Charter-wise, I'm not altogether sure that's true, but I think that's what we have to muddle through.
This is the first time
I believe that this has ever happened, and if it's not, it's certainly the first time in most anybody's memory here at the board. All right, anything else? Then we have a vote.
No, are we supposed to?
No, we're on. Well, the vote is on a motion to disapprove.
Disapprove, right.
The nomination. Because an aye vote would be to disapprove, and no vote would be not to disapprove. I'm sorry?
You want to read the resolve
clause? Oh, do we have this in draft form?
You already have it, huh?
Okay. We have two versions of it, actually.
Okay.
Whereas the Committee on Appointments, having on the 10th of January 2011 not approved the appointment of Edward Burroughs as the Commissioner of the Worcester County Department of Planning, now therefore it be resolved that said appointment be and is hereby not approved. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to say?
Okay.
A no vote, a yay vote is to not approve. A no vote is to approve, or is to oppose the
motion.
Not opposed. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No. Okay.
And I say no.
And you record it as no.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. No, you could be right.
No, it goes in the minutes.
Yeah, that's okay.
So this sign it with a no after it.
If you want.
Well, no.
You
it's,
don't
it's,
have to sign it.
We're allowed to make our own rules, and it's up, as far as I'm concerned, it's up to members if they wish to express themselves on the paper or not. And so it's entirely up to you. I mean, usually when I voted no on a committee, I want it there, so I don't want anybody to come call me and say, hey, you said you did this, but you'd never, it's not there in the minutes. So no, it's fine.
My vote is my vote.
But I think as a procedure, Steve educated me on this 2 years ago in legislation that whatever the committee wants to do, the committee does, particularly what the chairman wants to do. But I've always thought that the members should record themselves if they choose, but they're not recorded. So I'm going to do that.
Do we need to do the...
So now we want to talk about Mary. All right.
You got a resolution for her, too?
Well, I don't know. What we got to talk about now is this. When we had her in here... we split 2-2, if you recall. You and John Nona. That's probably where I managed to lock it up with the two Johns.
And it probably would have been that way again today.
Well,
you know, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, that's
to have these kind of votes without the full committee is also.
Well, that's the thing about a quorum, is that you're never going to have a full committee in presence. So you work with a quorum you've got.
Right.
But I accept your point. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think we probably want to add another member, and so that we're in a position to ultimately deal with this. But what's transpired over the last couple of months is that you may recall we had this discussion about Mary's qualifications,
yes.
and her strong position was that she had supervised major deals like the Atlantic Yards and other things on behalf of the MTA.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know that the minutes say on the motion... Seconded by the appointment is hereby approved by a 2-2 vote. Say the minutes.
Well, that was wrong. That's another reason not to
not
to approve the minutes. We will punt all the minutes and we'll read it.
I didn't read them.
Getting a little anxious about that. That we had. That there's some concern, and that Ken and I have expressed it, that Mary's background in real estate is at a macro level on very large projects, and what the job calls for He is basically being an uber real estate broker, who, not a broker per se, but a real estate manager. Someone who really keeps track of each one of the buildings and what's needed, what particularly with the rentals and on and on. So I think Ken must have copied you on the original email that he sent to George back in November, asking for Mary to come through with a more detailed resume.
I don't recall, but that doesn't mean I didn't have.
Yeah, right. But he did send it, and I know I've got it in the file. We have not heard. So.
I think he sent through a reminder too, didn't he?
Yeah, he told me he did. I don't remember seeing that, but it may be. This is a problem because it's a charter position, and this is not so much. Well, it's not period or anything on Mary. It is a function of wanting to have somebody in this position who is really that kind of a real estate person, and I just don't think Mary's resume, as presented to us so far, is that. I remember personally having a conversation with George over another matter, probably some sort of affordable housing thing in Ossining or maybe somewhere else, and he brought up Mary, and I said, George, it would help us all a lot, including Mary, if you could get a more detailed and more specific resume, and I don't think we ever came to a conclusion on that, but I know that I've brought that up with him as well. I think at this point, it's just not in the county's best interest in this to have someone whose experience is at the macro level doing this job. I think it would probably require staffing.
What normally happens is that the county executive choices for commissioners usually get, don't they usually, as a courtesy, you know, you bring them through as the county executive's choices?
I think the answer is that in the good old days, yes. But we're now in a situation where the direction the board wants to go is one way in some situations, obviously not with senior services as an example or parks, and where we've taken big hits and we've had to turn the steamboat around, or maybe not around, but at least push it in another direction. Lack of staffing and being one thing, but there are other things, programs that have had to be dropped. But we've, at least I have the confidence in both May and Kathy, May whom I've known for years, and Kathy who I never met in my life until she showed up here as the acting commissioner applicant. But I think in this situation, and I think in Ed's, I think the situation about the job has changed, and the person for the job has to be congruent. And I just don't think in either case that we've got the match. So
I didn't get that impression, but
yeah. Well, and again, I'll grant you that you did not expect this to be going the way it's going. And so we're not trying to put you on the spot on anything. But what happens is that the committees don't make decisions; they merely recommend to the board. The board makes the decision.
Right.
So this will come up, I presume, at the meeting of the 17th or 18th, whatever the date is, we'll then just, you know, hash it out. The part I am most uncomfortable about in this whole process is that, in fact, it has to go before the board in public. And I really hate...
Does it?
Yes. The motion has to be, the recommendation has to be acted upon. We can't. No,
but doesn't it go from here to legislation? Or
no, we have been taken out of legislation.
All right,
now
so,
a freestanding committee.
But
even so, if we were reporting to legislation, legislation would, if it accepted our recommendation, then it has to go before the board as the reading of the rules.
So you'll be debating people,
right.
Individuals.
Exactly right. And the last time this happened was way, way back in the dear old days when two employees, right, of this board were terminated. For cause, as it turned out. But the rules changed subsequent to that to say that the chairman was now delegated the responsibility from the whole board to do this. Well, we obviously can't do that on these matters. I am I am never happy having these discussions in public before the cameras. I think because of the procedure, this is what we've got. But I don't know. I think I will ask Ken to again raise with George and Mary the references issue.
Okay.
I'm not happy doing this to either one of these guys. Ed, I think, is a little bit more clear-cut because there was the resolution that was passed, and he did nothing on this. He didn't communicate with us, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm aware.
There was nothing for him to do. The department was gone. There was no jobs.
No. But with the resolution that we passed in early December,
I know,
that was something he could have acted on. He could have written the letter.
Gamesmanship of all this.
I understood. Understood. But understood the view
it's
of the world.
It's
the view of the world.
No, it isn't.
But,
yeah, it is.
No, it isn't. It's asking for some
when there's
equal.
No contract in place and there's no.
You know what? How about
we,
some
we instructed
how
him
about
to send
respect.
His letter. That was the part. Yeah. More than
you know,
anything
this isn't
else.
A kingdom.
So, should you have the opportunity to discuss Mary's situation, mm-hmm. I would appreciate your. Reflecting at least my sentiments,
okay.
And I suspect Judy's as well.
Okay.
This is
we
not
need information, and it's not right not to respond. It's just not. And it's a question of respect.
Okay.
It's a question
yeah.
of.
All right.
It's if it's gamesmanship, then it's not playing game right.
Sometimes you play tennis with a net, and sometimes you play tennis without the net.
No, I think you always
Robert
play
Frost
with a net.
Insisted on playing tennis with a net.
No, I was referring to the Section 8 issue.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh.
All right. We will punt the minutes, and staff will reread them intensely to make sure the 2-2 votes are not considered to be passing.
Exactly.
And I want to get on the record that there are two people that were interviewed that are, and the minutes for that meeting were not here.
Right, and they will be. That's one another reason why we're punting the minutes. Oh, absolutely. We're not passing any.
Kimberly Morelli and.
I think that those minutes, I just couldn't find them. Email
and
back and forth.
The only reason I remember because A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez was the other person.
There's quite a few days that are missing that were done.
All right, but we obviously have to clear those up because it's
and
part of our board procedures that we have all those
on.
Things
it
done. Okay, let's pack them all. All right. May I have a motion to adjourn?
No, you didn't vote on Mary Mann.
Oh, I'm sorry, we did not. Thank you very much.
So you're going to give her a chance to get more information.
Discussion only.
Well, that she wasn't coming in for an interview.
That was not. Yes, it was not. We're not bringing her in for an interview.
But discussion only doesn't indicate a vote.
Well, neither does saying interview.
All right. Let me do this.
You just said you were asking for more information.
Right. Well, we did, and we didn't get it. I will take it upon myself to quash the resolution if, in fact, we find that we've gotten sufficient information from Mary. But I would like to take a vote now. So
I just think it's inappropriate to take a vote for discussion only, and then we just got done talking about you're going to give her another opportunity to get the information he requested, and now you're going to vote. That doesn't seem right.
You'll be able to get the information you want. If you get it, you'll be able to recommit the item.
Are we meeting next Monday?
No, that's a national holiday.
Tuesday?
And we will not. No, Monday is a holiday. It's Martin Luther King.
I know.
And Tuesday, I would simply take it upon myself if we feel that it would be worth bringing this back into committee, then I will personally recommit the item from the floor. I'm not looking to do personal harm here. I really am not. But I do feel we have to move this forward. So I have a motion.
I'm going to say again, looking at the minutes, to say, mm-hmm. see discussion only, you would never expect a vote from a discussion only mm-hmm. item.
Okay.
Okay. That's
I don't
in any government that I've ever been involved with, any meeting I've ever been, discussion only means discussion,
mm-hmm.
Not discussion and a vote.
Okay, I'm still going to push this forward, and I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the appointment of Mary Mann.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay. I have a second. Okay. Motion fails for lack of a second. I have a motion to disprove the appointment of Mary Mann.
With the assurances that...
The assurance from the chair that it will be recommitted if information satisfactory to the committee, or at least discussable to the committee.
Then I make that motion.
Okay, and I'll second that. Any further discussion? All in favor, then, of the motion to disprove, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
No.
Okay. I have a draft on that. Thank you. And I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved. We can agree on that.
Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned at the time of...
It is 5:29.
5:29? Oh, boy, are we in trouble with ourselves.